Welcome to the Salem Alliance Church Podcast. To learn more about Salem Alliance, including life groups, gathering times, and other resources, visit us online at salemalliance.org. Today's talk is given by Rob Basham.
We have a tradition around this place on Father's Day. It's not my favorite tradition, but it is a tradition. They wrote it into my job description. I have to do dad jokes every Father's Day. I apologize. Don't talk to me. Talk to the board. Did you hear about the company that makes yardsticks? They're not making them any longer. I just want to say, this side, I'm very disappointed. I got very little from you. Turns out my new electric toothbrush isn't waterproof. I was shocked. Somebody ripped the fifth month out of my new calendar. I am dismayed. So May is the fifth month. Some of you slow on the uptake. What do you call two monkeys that share an Amazon account? Primates. Did you hear about Burger King's new slogan in Israel? Have it Yahweh. Yeah, that one's pretty good. Let me land the plane. What did Batman say to Robin before they got in the Batmobile? Robin, get in the Batmobile. It's my favorite. Even if you don't like it, it's still my favorite. There's roses on the platform. Roses signify new life in Jesus, and today we're celebrating Sam, Annabella, Amelia, and Joyce, all nailed ribbons into the cross. That's a big deal around here. Would you celebrate that? Yesterday, a group of seven launched from Salem Alliance. They are headed for a week. They're going to Kazakhstan. This crew will be leading a camp for special need kids and their families there in Kazakhstan. About 150 people are expected at the camp. They're doing games, arts, crafts, music. They're communicating the love of the Father to these awesome families. Would you consider praying for them as they travel? Stamina, unity. They're led by our pastor of our special needs ministries, Amy McGrath. We're excited that they get to go. We have another crew that's leaving tomorrow, four people leaving to just help our teams and provide pastoral care and a listening ear to our teams in the Middle East. Travis and Brandy Ratzliff, Greg and Laura Goodenough will be getting on a plane tomorrow and heading there. Would you be praying for them as well as our teams in the Middle East? Not all of our teams are able to travel to this conference with the conflict that's happening with Israel and Iran right now. Would you pray that they are able to get out and join the conference, that airspace opens up again? But we are excited that we get to partner with what God is doing in the nations as well as what he's doing here in our city. And he's doing some good stuff. Hey, today I want to kick off a new series. That's a three-week series called Trinity. We're going to be looking at the Father today, and then next week the Son, and then followed by the Holy Spirit. If you haven't picked up one of our Bible study guides, I encourage you to grab these. They're in the Welcome Center. They're free, and they'll just allow you to go a little bit deeper with what we're talking about in this room. But I want to define the Trinity to kick things off. We define the Trinity as one God, and yet three persons in perfect unity, each with distinct attributes and roles. One and three, three and one. It's crazy. Makes total sense, right? No, it's kind of like this paradox. Three distinct people, all God, yet we worship one God. It's contradictory in a sense, but in reality, it's a mystery. But how do we embrace that paradox? We embrace paradoxes all the time. We use statements like less is more and the only constant is change. Or take Brian Candelo, for example. He's an absolute paradox to me. He's so brilliant, and then yet, I'll just let you fill in that blank however you want to. Or the paradox that exists in my family. I've got four kids. Each is my favorite. And yet I don't have a favorite. It's a paradox. But the truth be told, that today we're looking at a deep mystery. And before we step into looking more at God the Father, I want to just focus for a couple of minutes on this Trinitarian concept, because I think it's important for us. Often at Missio College, we teach the Trinity, and we begin with a picture of a famous icon. It's done by Andrei Rublev, and I want you to just pay attention to this picture. Notice that all the faces are pretty much the same. Each member is holding a staff or a rod, and they're all wearing a blue robe or tunic. And this all represents the oneness of the Trinity. And yet, there's also distinguishable characteristics here. There's other colors and other little things that show that each is distinct and has different attributes. But notice how each is deferring to the other. There's an openness in the way they are sitting to even receive from one another. It demonstrates this love and this unity as they commune around a table where no one is really at the head of the table. You see, the persons of the Trinity have existed before time. They're eternal, all three, yet one, present at creation. We see this truth in both the books of John as well as Ephesians. In fact, the act of creation itself, many theologians would say, was a profound act of love and unity that came from the persons of the Trinity. Jeremy Berg puts it this way: the universe did not spring into existence in order to give God something to do. Please don't think he was sitting somewhere bored and needed something to entertain him. Rather, the universe was created to give further expression to the rich, vibrant society of love and creativity that already existed in the Trinitarian community of the Godhead. The irresistible dance of the Trinity, full of life and joy, overflowing with love and goodness, could not contain itself. And it was only a matter of time before God expanded the scope of the dance and extended the guest list. In my years of studying the Trinity, I've seen many attempts to explain it that honestly fall short. And yet this concept of the holy dance has continued to resonate for me. In Greek, it's perikerosis, and Efren would want us to know this. It means mutual indwelling, divine sharing, the similar root to choreography, and it means, it reminds us that love and unity existed. The relationship between the Trinitarian people is symbiotic, and I hope that this releases hope to you. Hope that when a new kingdom is restored, we will experience this perfect love, this perfect unity. I think this is an important concept to understand the Trinity present at creation. You see, we know because of that, that relational love was present. So many creation stories depict a God of power creating, but in our story, we have the relational love of the Trinitarian community. And from that love comes creation. Love, relationship preceded power. And because of that, the relational nature of the Trinity is at the core of all things. Relational love is central, not power. In addition to the creation narrative, we see the members of the Trinity present also at Jesus' baptism. You know the scene. Jesus, Emmanuel, God has come to earth. He has taken on flesh. And as he's preparing to begin his ministry, he enters the waters of baptism. As he comes out of the waters, Jesus himself is present, and a dove descends as the heavens part, a representation of the presence of the Holy Spirit. We see the voice of God the Father speak a word of encouragement. This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. All three present, distinct yet one. Throughout Scripture, we are reminded that we serve both one God, and yet we see these three persons relating to one another with unique and varying attributes that they carry out. My prayer for you and my prayer for me in this series is that we embrace the mystery of the Trinity, that we see the importance of its foundation in our lives, that we see that it is more than a theological concept, but a narrative of how God interacts with all that he has created. And so today and in the coming weeks, I pray that fresh revelation comes to you. And so today on Father's Day, we're going to be looking at God the Father. See what we did there? It's pretty cool. God the Father. I want to draw your attention to Romans chapter 8, verses 14 to 17. This will be our text for today. We'll be putting it on the screen, but I encourage you, look it up in your pew Bible in front of you, in the Bible that you brought, in an app that's on your mobile device. We'll be reading from the New Living Translation, Romans chapter 8, verses 14 to 17. It reads this: "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father, for his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. This is the word of the Lord. Now we call him Abba, Father." Abba, Father. Have you ever been in a cafe and heard someone order a chai tea? I know many people are bothered when people order a chai tea because chai is just another language that says tea. And so you're ordering a tea tea. So please stop doing that and just order a chai. Abba, Father. It's not that. Abba and Father. In the original Greek in our passage, yes, maybe you could translate them both as Father. But understand that the nuances and the differences between these two words are profound. Abba, dad, intimate, close. Father is such a more formal language. And this is an important concept for us to understand. The intimate and personal nature of our God. J.I. Packer, the theologian and author, puts it this way: "If you want to judge how well a person understands Christianity, find out how much they make of the thought of being God's child and having God as their father. If this is not the thought that prompts and controls their worship and their prayers and their whole outlook on life, it means they don't understand Christianity very well at all." Oftentimes, I ask my students and those that I'm walking a spiritual journey with, what member of the Trinity do you best relate to? And on the opposite side, what person of the Godhead do you struggle to relate to? Think about that for a moment. You see, in the Old Testament, we have this creator God. And yes, sometimes to the Old Testament believer, he is declared to be God the Father. But he's the father of the world in the sense that he was life giver, that he was protector and author of all that is, the father of all nations. And rarely in the Old Testament do we see God called Father. We see it in Hosea. He's described, he says, "When Israel was a child, I loved him. I called my son out of Egypt." Or in Isaiah, the prophet says, "Surely you are still our father. Even if Abraham and Joseph abandoned us, Lord, you would still be our father." But in the Old Testament, when God is called Father, it is more of a corporate language. It reflects this almost distant creator God who is majestic, who is to be feared and revered. But with Jesus' coming, the title Father God takes on new meaning. Jesus even uses the word Abba, no longer distant, but now near to us. And in the New Testament, with the coming of Christ, we are introduced to a personal God, a Father God who is loving and knowable. Jesus extended this title in the Gospel of John. He says, I'm ascending to my Father who is your Father, my God and your God. Paul understood this. It's why he includes the term Abba in our reading in Romans today. Do not miss the profoundness of this powerful word. It reminds us that our God that we worship this morning is close. It models an intimacy that is available for us. Father God is the primary title used in the New Testament for our Creator. It's a powerful and personal and purposeful title. We're invited into it. Relational. A father-child relationship. In fact, we're told to pray, Our Father. Do you understand the access that we are given? As I heard one pastor put it, the only person who dares to wake up a king at 3 a.m. for a glass of water is his child. And we have that access. When my kids entered a room when they were young and were going to wake me up, they didn't come with language of formality. They came with a gentle whisper, Dad, Dad. Personally, I know that my view of Father God changed immensely when I first became a dad. The love that came over me when I first held my daughter, Sidon. It was a powerful moment. And I know many of you are struggling to get over a picture of me without a beard. I was never really a fan of facial hair, but then it started to grow on me. Oh, come on, come on. I'm glad the picture's gone. But seriously, the care and the compassion that washed over me there as I held my child, the priorities that were newly created happened in an instant. New emotions that I didn't even know were within me began to surface. And it happened with each of my kids, the expansion of love and capacity to love. And brothers and sisters, the same is true with our Father God. In 1 John 3, we are reminded, see what great love the Father has lavished upon us that we should be called children of God. You see, in his love, he's a pursuer of each of us. And when he finds us, we see here in Romans that he adopts us into his family. He adopts us into his family. He takes us from slavery to giving us a position of being a prince or a princess because he is king and we are his children. A personal identity is established and we join a community and find a family identity as part of the bride of Christ, the church. And with our adoption, we also become heirs. We share in the inheritance. We get to be part of the protection, the provision, even the discipline in love that he brings our way. We're heirs. Our scripture today reminds us of this position of being sons and daughters. We get to operate in this freedom, operating in this truth, the Holy Spirit affirming in us that we have been sealed by his Spirit. We wear the signet ring. The adoption papers have been signed and stamped. We are heirs in his glory, meaning we receive his abundant grace and we inherit eternity with him. Our identity is secure. But what do we do with all this? Well, that's the spiritual journey. We get to learn to be in practice what we are in position. You see, if you are a son or daughter of the living king, you've got status, platinum status. Are you utilizing the benefits? Are you walking in the provision and the protection? Are we aligning our everyday practices with this status that we already possess? Augustine describes the discipleship pathway, the spiritual journey as simply becoming what we already are, treasured sons and daughters of the King. This is the truth I bring to you today. But here's the thing, it has to be experienced. It can't simply be understood intellectually, it has to be experienced. And many of us, I believe, struggle to actually receive the Father's love. We struggle to relate to this member of the Trinity, often for good reason. Scripture gives us many just clear understandings of the attributes of Father God. Dads, there's a blueprint of what it means to be a good father found in Scripture. And some of us are journeying that well, but some of us are struggling. And many of us in this broken world would have to step back and say that God the Father that we read about in Scripture with these attributes of love and compassion, who is knowable and faithful and present, simply doesn't align with our realities of our earthly Father. And that stinks. And that's a reality that hits a bit different on this day especially. And while many of us in the room might be able to honor our dads on this day, we also grieve and lament that some of that intimacy, this Abba Father intimacy, is missing. That's our reality. The Bible shows us that there are many examples of dads that miss the mark. Jacob and his favoritism that was so weird. Lot, who doesn't protect his children from the cultural practices of the day. Or Eli, who doesn't discipline and keep his sons disciplined in love. There's no shortage of dads that aren't perfect in Scripture. And please understand that as I compare an earthly father with our heavenly Father, that this is by no means a one-to-one correlation. And it's Father's Day, so I'm concentrating on the love of the Father and the characteristics of a father, but also don't neglect how many times Scripture gives us imagery of God's motherly characteristics as well. But this concept of God as Father is foundational for us. And for many of us that struggle to have that intimacy with our own fathers, it created in many ways a block that makes it difficult to relate to our Heavenly Father. And I want to talk about that this morning, because that's a block that I believe we need to somehow get over, and I'm not sure that the truth of Scripture is what's going to get us there. For some of you in the room that find that space, when I ask the question, which member of the Trinity is most difficult for you to relate, Father came right to mind. Why do you think that is? When I ask that question, often emotions begin to rise. Grief begins to rise. Today we see what the text says about our good Father, our Heavenly Father, and it has to move from our heads to our heart. And today I bless you with a removal of whatever that blockage is. I bless you with the ability to lament what has been missing with your earthly Father. And I bless you with an ability to walk into the truth of what Scripture testifies. I bless you with fresh revelation of the Holy Spirit, that even today, the lavish love of the Father will be revealed to you, that you will begin to know Creator God, not as distant or to be feared, but as Abba. That you would begin to experience him as loving and knowable. One woman after the service last night came up to me and said, "Rob, I was dreading Father's Day, and for the past month I had been praying that I would have a new, fresh revelation of who God the Father is and how to relate to him." And she said on Tuesday, she awoke and had a vision where she saw how she pictures Father God, and she saw herself as a toddler, and he took her hand, and something broke, and she experienced the fresh revelation of the love in the Father. It is my desire that similar things happen for those of you in this room, that his lavish love comes upon you today, in Jesus' name. Let me also quickly speak to those of you in the room that had a dad that did live up to many of the attributes of our Heavenly Father that are in the room. Dads that loved and protected well, that were not just present, but knowable. Today, I bless you with an ability to reflect on how blessed you are. Would you give thanks to your earthly Father and your Heavenly Father for that gift and for that reality? Would you not neglect how blessed you are? And would you continue to walk in the open door you have to receiving the love of our Heavenly Father? And lastly, to the dads in the room today, I'm glad you're here. Today I want to bless you and I want to charge you. And as the worship team comes back to lead us in worship once again, I want to invite the dads in the room to stand and receive this blessing. Would you stand now? Dads, we see you and we acknowledge you today. And today I bless you with courage to reflect on the goodness of the Heavenly Father today and in this coming year. As you grow in understanding and experience of his nearness, may you be present and full of love for your own kids. As you experience his protection, his provision, his compassion, may you protect, provide, and walk with compassion with your family. May your actions bring fresh revelation to your own children, no matter how young or old they are. Revelation of a creator God that is loving and knowable. Today I bless you with courage, humility, and peace, a peace that passes all understanding. May your heart be soft and may you be celebrated today. Happy Father's Day. Church family, would the rest of you stand as we move back into worship?
Thanks for listening to the Salem Alliance podcast. We hope you have been challenged and inspired. Salem Alliance is a community of believers located in downtown Salem, Oregon, and we are passionate about our city being a city at peace with God. To experience other messages and discover more about who we are, please visit salemalliance.org or download the Salem Alliance app. And again, thanks for listening.